Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Welcome once again to Free Inside, the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Honolulu, Hawaii. We left off yesterday with Pastor Scott Sonoda explaining to us his life that he's led of over 30 years of addiction, of living in the streets of Chinatown, in the drugs and the alcohol and all of the negative things of life, how he lost everything, but how the Lord has restored that. Today we're going to pick right back up where Pastor Scott had left, and he's going to tell us even though he had come to the Lord and the Lord had control of his life, the Lord had a different plan than what he had. Pastor Scott, once again, thank you so much, and welcome once again to Free Inside.
Thank you, Bulla.
Bring us, Pastor Scott, to where we left off yesterday, talking about where you had come from your addictions, and now you had come to the Lord, and you're in the process of moving forward.
Yes, Bulla, you know, at that point, you know, the Word of God says that my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. And you know, God also says in his word that he's able to do exceedingly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And you know, at this point, the scenario that my puny little mind thought of was that the Lord delivers me from drugs, I go back to my family and live happily ever after, you know. And that was what I thought the Lord was going to do. But you know what? The Lord had another plan for me, Bulla. Mm-hmm. And today, you know, I sit here, you know, I didn't never, ever think that I would be a part of anything more than just going to church on Sunday. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm just so blessed that the Lord has allowed me to be his mouthpiece, his voice for the kingdom of God.
So now, after you came to know the Lord, I think you ended up you went to a couple different churches, Pastor, or what did you do there?
Well, you know, as I came out, I decided that, you know, because I lived in the Aiea area, that I was going to make First Assembly of God my home church. And so I made it my home church, but as I told you, you know, a couple years later, you know, I started to dabble back in, and then I got arrested mm-hmm. again. And that's when I really turned my life over to the Lord. But as I came out, Bulla, you know, my wife said to me, "Scott, you know, I'm not ready for you to come home yet." And so I finally realized that on my own, I'm nothing, that I needed to have some kind of accountability. And so the Lord allowed me to go to Teen Challenge Ministry Institute in Southern California. And it was there that I realized that the Lord had a calling on my life, and he changed the direction of my life. Instead of going back to my jewelry designing business, which I still do today, but at that time I had been doing it for, you know, roughly about 30 years, you know, I decided that the Lord was calling me in a different direction. And it was there that I my wife and I made a decision that I would go into full-time, not ministry, because I didn't have a ministry back then, but that I'd be devoted to the Lord full-time, that wherever he sent me, wherever he opened the door, I would walk through. And so it was that time that I went to Teen Challenge Ministry Institute, and I came out, and that at that time, I believe it was about 2004, that Teen Challenge of the Hawaiian Islands had been closed for the last 5 years while I was going to Bible college. And so when I came back, the superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Dr. George Nagato, had heard about my testimony and called me into his office to make me a proposition about reopening Teen Challenge of the Hawaiian Islands back here in Hawaii.
So that was in Hawaii then?
Yes. And so from there, I met my senior pastor, Pastor Clayton Cole, who is my senior pastor today. Mm-hmm. And it was there that he saw something in me that I know it was from God. And he asked me to come on staff as a part-time pastor at First Assembly of God, and the rest is history.
And this is just a few years ago, right?
Yes, I was actually in 2005 that I came to be the Oahu Regional Director of the program of Teen Challenge, which I still am today, and I came on staff at First Assembly of God, Red Hill.
Now, along with your responsibilities at First Assembly of God, Red Hill, I believe you're like the Harvest Ministries overseer. Can you share that with us, Pastor Scott?
Yes. As the Harvest Ministry, which is the outreach ministries of First Assembly of God, you know, part of my portfolio was to start a prison ministry. Now, Bulla, let me take you back. When I first came to know the Lord in the year 2000, on my induction sheet, I wrote something down that was prophetic, and I completely forgot about it. Now, take into mind that 9 years before we started the prison ministry, I wrote on my induction paper, "The Lord has a different plan for me than I thought."
And you had that in writing?
Yes.
And you wrote that?
I wrote that, and I even wrote the date, July, I can't remember the day, 2000, and it says, "The Lord has me going into the prison ministry." Now, I forgot about that. 9 years later, when Pastor Cole said, "We want you to start a prison ministry," and I went back and I told my mom, I said, "Guess what? I'm going to start a prison ministry." And my mom reminded me. She said, "Son, that you told me when you gave your life to the Lord in 2000 that God was going to bring you into the prison ministry." And right then I forgot, and then I remembered. I said, "By gosh, he did."
Even at that time, you can see how the Lord had his hand on your life. Mm-hmm. You know, like we tell a lot of our brothers and sisters that are in prison, you know, the only way you can have your greatest comeback is to have your greatest setback. Sometimes being in prison is that opportunity. It is that setback that you need. It's that wake-up call that you need to have your greatest comeback. Because as we tell them, Pastor Scott, and I've heard you say this many times, you are knocked down, but you are not knocked out. You know, you tell them that we share, it's only a bend in the road. It's not the end of the road unless they fail to make a turn for the better. You know, a lot of times you go into prison and you find a lot of people that want to be players. They think they're players. Well, what we tell them is, don't be a player, be a prayer. They've got to give it all to God. But now that's how we were able to meet Pastor Scott, is with the prison ministry. Now, explain with our listeners here, to those that are still listening in their beds that might be in Halava, Wayava, FDC, OCCC at the Winter Facility, or maybe even out in Sawara, or maybe you have a loved one that's incarcerated and you just don't know what goes on in prison. But, you know, Pastor Scott, bring us up to speed, if you could, about the prison ministry, because I know last year it was just unbelievable how the Lord blessed the ministry, but it wasn't always like that, was it, Pastor?
Not by far, Bulla. You and I have sat across the table numerous times and with tears look up to heaven and say, "To God be the glory for where he has taken our prison ministry." But Bulla, you know that when I started this out, there was 4 volunteers that came with my package. They had a prison ministry before I started, but it was defunct. So I called those 4, and of those 4, 3 said no, and 1 said, "Okay, I'll go with you." So we started out with 2 people, myself and Angel Fredelucis, who now holds our live connection, our live streaming to Sawara.
Well, that's not really a bad start, Pastor, when you look at it. If you have to start a ministry with an angel, you've got a good beginning.
Amen. Amen. And he truly is an angel. But by the way, you know, from that day, Bulla, can I tell you this? And you know this story, but I have to share it with our audience, is that I remember the very first time that I walked into Halava, there were 23 men in chapel. 22 of them knew me from the streets. And that day, they looked at me, Bulla, I can never forget the sight. They were like wide-eyed owls with their mouths open, looking at me, giving my testimony. And I know what they were thinking. They were thinking, this guy right here was worse than me. What happened to him? And in fact, some of them came up to me after I had spoken to them and said, Scott, how did you do this? And I said, I don't know, because I didn't do it. I just gave God a chance in my life, and the rest is history.
You know, I think that's one of the most effective, if not the most powerful testimonies, is when you have walked the path that they are walking. Because you didn't read about it in a book. You didn't listen to a radio program to learn about prisons. And you didn't watch a video or a CD or a movie about what goes on in a prison. You actually were incarcerated. You were locked up. And you went through the same procedures and processes that they go through every day. So you know firsthand the darkness that they walk in. And when they can see you as a beacon of light in all of that darkness, when they can see you as that shining, shining, shining light in all of that darkness, you bring them a ray of hope that they might not have had otherwise. You know, well, shortly thereafter, I think, Pastor Scott, where you had asked my wife Lynette and I to come and help you at one of our gym chapels that we have every other month at Halava. And we were thought that we would just go there and clap in the background and be encouragers. And as we began the praise and worship concert in Halava that we do every other month with our prison ministry, you gave us the microphone and said, and you are now the praise and worship singers. Well, I'm glad that they don't have much entertainment because they appreciated what we tried to do, which is called singing. But, you know, just looking into the eyes of the men that were there at the gym that Saturday evening, I was amazed because, like yourself, I didn't know as many of the incarcerated, the prisoners that you did, but I knew a lot of the ACOs. But there was a handful of guys that used to train with me down at 24-Hour Fitness from many years ago, powerlifting, and they were incarcerated. And my heart just reached out to them. And so, a long story short, you became quite busy with the Harvest Ministries, and you offered us, you blessed us with the opportunity to lead the prison ministry under your guidance and under the senior pastor, Clayton Coe, at First Assembly of God, Red Hill. And so, not knowing any better, of course, we told you yes. And slowly, we'd go to all of the services that we had, but I want to bring some numbers to light for some people to show you what happens when God touches a ministry to our volunteers who are so faithful. We have such faithful servants, and we don't have a large team. We have a very small team of maybe 15 to 17 people, but we go into every facility here on Oahu. We go into every facility except the women's facility, but we're going to start going there in February. Thank you so much, Chaplain Bonnie. But just in, you know, one of our goals one year, I think, was to go reach a few thousand inmates. Because I think we, in our first year, a few years ago, we had reached 2,000 or 3,000 incarcerated. We said, well, that's good, but we want to do more. And, you know, the only way we limit God is we limit God. And I just wanted to share, and for many of those that are listening out there that are at one of the facilities, you might have come to one of our chapel services. You might have come to one of our concerts. You might have come to one of our Berean study groups. Or your families might participate in the video visits that we have, the live connection every third Saturday from our church to those of you that are in Saguaro and Red Rock, Arizona. We were so blessed. In the year of 2012, we had the opportunity to reach over 13,600 inmates. We were so blessed to have 345 services. We were blessed to have over 3,400 salvations and rededications. I think that's a wonderful place for a hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But it's not about what we do. I mean, who are we? The Lord takes the foolish things of the world to confuse the wise. But those numbers that we were able to have was God's way of telling people in the world that just makes them so amazed at what happens. Because I can't take a movie crew into the prison ministry when we go in there. They don't see what we do when we're having service with 38 women down in modules 3 and 4. They don't see the 45-plus women that were there on Christmas Eve with us as we brought the love of Jesus to them, because instead of going to a church service, we were the church and we brought them the light of Jesus on the day before the birth of Jesus Christ. That meant volumes to them, and it meant volumes to our team that were there that night, because like everyone, you know, nobody cares how much you know. Do they know how much you care? And we just love being. We tell those that are incarcerated, you bless us far more than we bless you. But Pastor Scott, even with all of the things that the prison ministry was able to do, the theme remains the same. And when we go into prison, what are we trying to share with them, Pastor Scott?
We just want to share the love of God, Bulla. You know, can I wanted to share something with our audience that, you know, God is so huge. He's so ginormous that, you know, when the very first time that I got out of Halava to do the chapel, when I met 25 inmates and 22 or 23 of them knew me, we did a salvation call and over 20 of them accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The following week, I went back. I think there were like 28 or 29 inmates, and about 25 of them gave their life to the Lord. Then I knew we were onto something big. And as Angel Fredelucci and myself walked down Main Street of Halava, the Lord gave me this word, Bulla, and I know I've shared this story with you before. He gave me the word revival. Amen. And my puny little thought was thinking, the Lord is going to send revival to Halava. Here we were, two people in the prison ministry of First Assembly of God had just started a little revival that was going to spread out throughout Halava Correctional Facility. Little did we know that we would be going in the next 3 years to reach over 10,000 inmates, over 3,400 salvations statewide, growing every year, and also going to Saguaro, Arizona, 3 times a year to minister to the Hawaii men that are incarcerated there in Saguaro.
For those of you that just tuned in, I wanted to welcome you once again to Free Inside, the prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Red Hill. Today with us is Pastor Scott Sonoda, the senior pastor at First Assembly of God, Wahiwa, the Free Inside Church, 300 Wilakina Drive. Now, the wonderful thing about going to Arizona, and I want to give a praise report and a shout out to all the other ministries that are available through other churches that go out and visit our brothers that are in Arizona. They appreciate everything that we do for them because they are neither forsaken nor forgotten. And we try and get there as often as we can with the schedules that we have. But I just want to support all of the other pastors and volunteers. And during the course of the Free Inside radio program that we have, we're going to be bringing in the pastors and the volunteers that go into the facilities here on Oahu on a regular basis, like Pastor Virginia Dominguan, Pastor Bird Mahelona, and some of our other volunteers that are there in every week, week in and week out, because I want to have them share their heart. It's not just about Brother Bulla and Pastor Scott. It takes many, many volunteers from many, many organizations and churches to share the love of Jesus, because that's what it's all about. We're going to actually have spouses of people that are incarcerated. I want you to hear the heart of someone who has a loved one behind bars. I want to have you hear the heart of a child whose mom or dad is locked up. I want to have you hear the heart of an administrator that has to deal with this all the time. See, we want to put a face on the prison ministry because it's not about reality shows. It's not about Scared Straight. It's not about Locked Up. Prisons are filled with people that are looking for real answers to real problems from a real God. And I think that the love of Jesus is something that can cover everyone, because that's what it says in my Bible. But also, I want you to understand that we realize there are people out there that will not see sunlight again, and we have no problem with that. But we want to reach to those that are lost and to those that need to hear the name of Jesus. And so that when it's dark, when it's late at night, when the voices are screaming in their head, they know they have the scripture that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. They stand on the truth of the word of God, the living God, the forgiving God, the merciful God that we all serve. Pastor Scott, tell us about the joy when we do, because we have one coming up this weekend, of going doing the praise and worship at Halava Gym Chapel that we get to do every other month.
Bulla, it's indescribable. I am looking so much forward to this Saturday. We have such a great week. You know, Bulla, I just want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior for the opportunity to be his voice, to be his vessel of portraying his love in a real way. And as we go into Arizona and OCCC and Halava and all these different places, you know, it's the message is the same. God loves you and is not willing that one would perish. And you know, Bulla, when we go in there, you've been there with me for the last several years, and we go in all the time, and we always end up looking at each other, speechless, not being able to say anything, and tears rolling down from our cheeks because God used us for that hour to touch thousands of lives. And you know, Bulla, there's no better high than the Most High, and I know some highs in my life.
I'll take the expert's opinion on that. Hallelujah. You know, I think one of the wonderful things is that those that are locked up, if they come to know the Lord while they are incarcerated, and like we always explain to them, when you look outside on top of the wall, what do you see? Well, of course, you see the barbed wire and the razor wire. My next question is, well, why is that there? And they say, well, that's to keep us inside. I said, well, let me share something with you. Perhaps the Lord loved you so much, he took you out of all the trouble, the trials and tribulations that was leading you nowhere except to destruction. He took you out of that and put you in a place where you could get close to him. He put you in a place where no one could bother you. He put you in a place where all your opihi friends couldn't call you up to smoke at 2 a.m. He put you in a place where you cannot drink a cold pack in the middle of the day to go jack cars down at Sandy Beach. He put you in a place where you could no longer beat your loved ones. He put you in a place where you could no longer grab the pipe. He put you in a place where you could no longer be a thief. So I explained to my beloved that are in prison that razor wire and that barbed wire is not to keep you in. It's to keep the opala out so that the Lord can work on you. You know, and before we close, I just wanted to share to all of our listeners out there, for any information, you can go to our website, www.freeinsideministry.org. If you have a Facebook account, we have a Facebook page, Free Inside Ministry. And also, our phone number is 808-222-2822. Please reach out to us. We'd like to communicate with you. We'd like to talk with you. Share some of your testimonies with us if this program has encouraged you or if this program has given you a different look on how things might be. I want to close in prayer right now, Pastor Scott, if we could. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the air you have given us to breathe. I thank you for the air that you have given us to profess of your love. Father God, who are we? We are not worthy of your grace or your mercy. Despite all of our challenges, our mistakes, our foibles, and all the times we miss the mark, you are there with open arms saying, come, come to me. Father God, I pray for protection and provision for all those that are able to hear this program tonight. And for those that are sitting on their beds right now behind the prison walls, Lord, hear them as they cry out, Abba, Father. Hold them close to your bosom as a father holds his newborn to his chest. Father God, I pray for a blessing of abundance for their families. I pray for a healing touch. I pray for a spiritual, physical, and emotional healing. And Lord, I just pray for all of the staff that are working in the facilities that you protect them and their families also. Lord, continue to be the light for those that are in the darkness. Continue to be the hope for those that are hopeless. Continue to allow us to reach out to those that are lost. Lord, we know you don't have to be in prison to be imprisoned. And sometimes, Lord, we just have to be able to forgive others. Lord, let us continue to look towards you and for you. Let us be Jesus with skin. Let us love our neighbor as you have commanded us. Lord, until that next time we can all be together, comfort those that are in need of a hug right now. Let them know that they walk not alone, but they walk with you side by side. That you are there to make their burdens light. That you are there to comfort them. There is nothing they are going through that you have not already gone through, Father God. And all you want to do is love your children. And we are all your children. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Father God, continue to bless our state, bless our leaders, bless our governor, bless all of those in political office that they have your wisdom and your discernment. And Lord, just continue to protect our Aina, protect our land, protect our islands. And Lord, just may we come together as truly the Aloha State. We ask of all these things in your most heavenly and precious name. Amen. Once again, we'll be back tomorrow night, Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 p.m., 99.5 FM, or you can pick us up on the website, 995kgufm.com, for streaming, and also on the freeinsideministry.org website. We'll be cataloging all of these broadcasts for you so that you may share them with a loved one, share them with your children, or share them with a neighbor. The more that we talk with each other, the more we learn about each other, the easier it is to love each other. Until tomorrow, ahu iho.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.